The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning. Short-term travel bans announced for travelers from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan, those countries experiencing an Ebola outbreak. The Gaming Board fails to release its promised statement on Sebastian Pashney and Leslie Miller Bryce. And in our discussion today, we are scheduled to be talking with the Cuban ambassador to the Bahamas. You don't want to miss that. That's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend. Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Chester Robards will be joining us. That's all straight ahead. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while you were sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, the government announcing a 30-day ban on travelers to the Bahamas who recently visited the Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan. Those are countries that are currently experiencing an outbreak of Ebola. The government saying in a statement yesterday that the measure will take effect immediately and will remain in place for a 30-day period, subject to the review by the Ministry of Health. Said the decision was taken as a precautionary public health measure guided by the responsibility of the government to protect residents, visitors, and the wider community. The move comes after two men who recently traveled to the Bahamas from the DRC were placed in isolation. The men had fevers, which subsequently subsided. As of Sunday, the men were transported to the modular unit of the Princess Margaret Hospital and continue to undergo monitoring procedures. The Ministry of Health says that those men do not present any symptoms consistent with Ebola. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is also advising Bahamians to avoid travel to the DRC, Uganda, and South Sudan. It's also urging residents to exercise caution when traveling to Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Angola, Central African Republic, Ethiopia, and Zambia. Jonathan Eric Gardner, who was arrested by U.S. authorities after a plane crash off the coast of Florida on May 12th in connection with drug trafficking, has had his matter transferred to New York. Gardner was set to appear in an Orlando, Florida court last Thursday for a preliminary hearing, but that did not happen. On May 19th, U.S. Magistrate Judge Nathan Hill wrote that Gardner waived an identity hearing and that because no preliminary hearing had been held, because the defendant elected to have the preliminary hearing conducted in the district in which the prosecution is pending. The district is in the Southern District of New York. The judge ordered that Gardner be held to answer in the district court in which the prosecution is pending. He ordered that the U.S. Marshal Office transport Gardner to the Southern District of New York. A Haitian woman accused of failing to declare over $70,000 to Bahamian customs officers has been granted bail. Simone Thielmond was arrested at Lyndon Pinling International Airport after police allegedly found more than $73,000 in a suitcase. She was traveling to Haiti. Travelers are required to inform customs officer if they have more than $10,000. Thielmond denied the allegation at her arraignment before Assistant Chief Magistrate Cara Turnquest DeVoe. Her bail was set at $8,000. Her trial is set for August 24th. A man accused of shooting the developer of the Lyford Hills gated community in western New Providence has been remanded to prison on an attempted murder charge. 27-year-old Johnny Swan Jr. is accused of shooting Tennyson Wells Jr. on May 16th near his restaurant in the development. Swan's father, Johnny Swan Sr., is also a resident of Lyford Hills. According to police, Wells was shot in the shoulder and buttocks by a slim, dark gunman who emerged from bushes in the community. Swan was not required to enter a plea to the attempted murder charge. He was remanded to prison because the court lacks jurisdiction to consider bail for the offense. Swan was advised of his right to apply for bail in the Supreme Court. The matter was adjourned to October 1st for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment and will fast-track the case to the Supreme Court. A 31-year-old man is facing a murder charge after a fatal shooting this month. Prosecutors allege that Anton Seymour is responsible for the murder of Kino Anvier at Dunmore Avenue. Police went to the area around noon on May 15th after receiving shot spotter alerts. They found Anvier under the CRV. According to police, he was shot by the occupants of a Nissan Juke as he was about to park his vehicle. Seymour was not required to enter a plea to the murder charge when he appeared before Acting Chief Magistrate Anselo Evans on Tuesday. He was denied bail and the matter was adjourned to October 1st. As Cabinet met for the first time yesterday since the general election, questions remain unanswered by relevant authorities over the legality of the appointments of Sebastian Bastien and Leslie Miller-Bryce, both of whom had clear ties to gaming businesses as ministers. Last week, Gaming Board Secretary Kira Ramming said in a statement on the matter that it said that a statement was in the works, but nothing has been released as yet. When contacted by the Nassau Guardian, Ramming said she could provide neither a comment on the matter nor an update on when the statement might be released. The Gaming Act bars cabinet ministers or their family members from holding gaming licenses or significant financial interest in the holder of such a license. Despite this, Bastien, an Island Luck co-founder, was appointed Minister of Innovation and National Development, a newly created ministry, while Miller-Bryce, whose husband co-founded AssureWin, was appointed Minister of Culture, Arts, and Heritage. There's been no amendment to the Gaming Act, and in the months leading up to the election, Prime Minister Philip Davis said the government had no intention of bringing amendments to allow Bastien and Miller-Bryce to sit in his cabinet. Both Bastien and Miller-Bryce said they took steps to enable their appointments. Miller-Bryce's husband resigned from his post as CEO of GLK Limited, which trades as the gaming house AssureWin. Bastien, when asked about the matter by reporters, said he had worked with the regulator to ensure that they were he was compliant and met all the regulatory conditions. And 59 graduates from the University of the Bahamas officially commissioned as teachers during the Spring 2026 Teachers Commissioning Ceremony at Loyola Hall. Director of Education Dominique McCartney-Russell congratulating the teachers and thanking them for helping to advance national development. UB President Dr. Robert Blaine said the graduates will move on to transform lives. Overseas, U.S. President Donald Trump will meet with his cabinet today at a precarious moment for talks aimed at ending the war with Iran. just days after insisting that its administration and Tehran had largely negotiated a settlement, with the negotiations still in a state of flux. As he prepares to huddle with his top aides, Trump is projecting confidence that he's closing in on a deal that will reopen the Strait of Hormuz and provide him with a credible argument that Iran's nuclear capability has been diminished enough to declare victory, winding down a conflict that's been politically unpopular for Republicans. As things stand, Trump also risks finding closure to the war of choice comes with an unsatisfactory ending. The emerging deal puts off many critical issues to be resolved later and has already exposed the Republican president to fierce criticism. Israel saying today it targeted and killed the new leader of Hamas's military wing during airstrikes in Gaza City, less than 2 weeks after killing his predecessor. Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, saying that the military strikes, which were carried out Tuesday, killed Mohammed Odeh. Family members of a man called Mohammed Odeh said he was killed in the strike, but did not confirm that he was the leader of the military wing. Hamas has not commented either. Katz called him one of the architects of the October 7, 2023 attacks that triggered over 2 years of war in Gaza, and said it was the fourth time Israel had killed the head of Hamas's military wing since that massacre. The previous head was killed on May 16th. At least 5 people were killed and 12 injured in Tuesday's strike on the eve of a major Muslim holiday. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was preparing for elections in the fall, also threatened that Israel will target everyone involved in the October 7th, 2023 attack. And the head of Puerto Rico's key economic development agency announcing his resignation Tuesday as he criticized the U.S. territory's administration of Jennifer Gonzalez, accusing it of interfering in the department's work. The departure of Sebastian Negron Richard from the Economic Development and Commerce comes at a critical moment for Puerto Rico as it seeks to revive its economy and attract wealthy investors. Negron Richard noting in his statement that more than 10 officials with leadership roles of the agency, including its chief of staff, general counsel, and the finance chief, also stepped down following what he called interventions by the government. He said those include reversing 2 summary suspensions that Negron Richard had issued after an investigation found improper interventions in the agency's procurement activities. And the U.S. military launching another strike Tuesday on a vessel suspected of transporting drugs in the eastern Pacific Ocean, killing 1 man and leaving 2 survivors. Video posted on social media by U.S. Southern Command shows a boat speeding through water before exploding into flames. Southern Command said it immediately notified the U.S. Coast Guard to activate the search and rescue system for the survivors. The Trump administration's campaign of blowing up alleged drug trafficking vessels in Latin American waters, including the Eastern Pacific and the Caribbean, has gone on since early September and killed at least 194 people in total. The military has not provided evidence that any of the vessels were carrying drugs. The Pentagon watchdog said last week that it will evaluate whether the U.S. military followed an established targeting framework when carrying out the attacks on alleged drug smuggling boats. The 6-phase joint targeting cycle includes a military commander's intent, target development, analysis, decision, execution, and assessment. And according to a report by Human Rights Watch released today, the Trump administration has deported nearly 13,000 Cubans, Venezuelans, and other nationals to Mexico, where they are vulnerable to cartel violence in an unfamiliar country. While Mexico has accepted these types of deportations for years, the deportees under the Trump administration are older and have lived in the U.S. for longer than in the past, making it more difficult for them to find work and increasing the urgency of the need for medical care. That report, which is based on more than 50 interviews in southern Mexican cities comes as U.S. President Trump has expanded immigration enforcement to carry out his mass deportation plan. This has meant that immigrants who were not previously targeted, such as Cubans, with years or decades living in the U.S., have been caught up in the immigration dragnet. Some countries, such as Cuba and Venezuela, limit deportation flights or don't accept deportees at all, so they're instead sent to Mexico or other countries with which the U.S. has struck deals.
Sports Update.
In sports, Bahamian national record holder in the women's javelin, Rima Odebor, is setting herself for a big season. Odebor, currently number 9 in the world in the women's javelin, had another massive throw over the weekend, tossing 58.79 meters at the USA Track and Field Throws Festival at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Odebor finished third behind a pair of Americans, quietly having a respectable season, looking to score enough World Athletics rankings points to be considered for inclusion in the World Athletics Ultimate Championship slated for later this year. The 23-year-old said the main goal for her is to continue to progress and move up the ladder globally in the women's javelin. Again, she's number 9 in the world in the top performances for 2026, but is at number 16 in World Athletics rankings in today's Guardian Sports section. The Fidelity Central Gas Lady Panthers completing an undefeated season over the holiday weekend, winning a third consecutive Battle of the Islands tournament at the 8 Mile Rock Gymnasium in Grand Bahama. Panthers Women's Volleyball Club prevailing over the Abaco Alpha team in the championship match 25-15, 15-25, and 15-10. In the third place game, the University of the Bahamas Mingos defeated the Grand Bahama Hawks 17-12 and 17-16. From the NBA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 32 points. Alex Caruso led another strong bench effort with 22, and the Oklahoma City Thunder moved one win away from a return trip to the NBA Finals, beating the San Antonio Spurs 127-114 last night. Carrick McCain getting the call with Jalen Williams and A.J. Mitchell both sidelined, scoring 20 in his first playoff start for the defending NBA champion Thunder, who lead the Western Conference Finals 3-2. Chet Holmgren had 16 points and 11 rebounds for the Thunder, while Isaiah Hartenstein had 12 points, 15 rebounds. The Thunder were held to 82 points in a Game 4 loss 2 days earlier, had 82 points on Tuesday before the third quarter was 3.5 minutes old. And from the NHL, the Golden Knights sweeping the Avalanche to advance to their third Stanley Cup final in 9 seasons. And sports and mental events cut from the 2032 Brisbane Olympics program will have a path to return at future summer games, according to IOC President Christy Coventry. Telling sports leaders today, Coventry's reassurance to the annual meeting of summer games sports bodies coming after she warned in February of uncomfortable talks ahead to make future Olympic hosting more efficient. The International Olympic Committee aims to finalize within months the list of sports on the Brisbane program that Coventry previously told their leaders will be fewer than 36 played at the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Brisbane could have fewer than the 353 medal events being competed for at Los Angeles. That's sports. And that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. Your first look at weather brought to you by Star General. We've got a near gale warning in effect for the central and southeast Bahamas that will continue through tonight. The whole country will remain under the influence of a broad high-pressure ridge that will continue through tonight with occasional pockets of low-level moisture, generating some isolated passing showers. Meanwhile, a relatively tight pressure gradient across the country will maintain fresh to strong breezes through tonight. For today, that's going to mean a high risk of dangerous rip currents along East Coast and Atlantic exposed beaches, especially in the central and southeast Bahamas, including waters around Ragged Island and the Old Bahama Channel. Beachgoers and swimmers should avoid entering waters along all windward and Atlantic exposed shorelines. And the heat and UV index, we've got to deal with that again today. Everyone's being advised to stay out of the sun, limit outdoor activities during peak daytime sunlight hours. UV indices expected to be in the very high range and heat indices in the upper 90s. Your forecast for today, the northern half of the country looking at partly sunny to sunny conditions this morning, becoming a mix of sun and clouds by this afternoon, mostly fair tonight, with a 20% chance of showers today. For the central islands, a mix of sun and clouds today, becoming mostly fair tonight with a 20 to 30% chance of showers through tonight. The southeastern Bahamas seeing patterns more like the northern half of the country, partly sunny this morning with a mix of sun and clouds by this afternoon and mainly fair tonight. A 10 to 30% chance of showers through tonight. Wind southeasterly at 15 to 20 knots with higher today for the northern half of the country. East to southeast at 20 to 25 knots with possible gusts to near gale force through this afternoon for the central and southeast Bahamas, but decreasing to about 15 to 20 knots by tonight for the central islands and becoming easterly at 20 knots with higher gusts by this evening for the southeastern islands. Temperatures today, we're looking at highs getting up to around 90 Fahrenheit, but feeling like it's closer to 98 Fahrenheit with the heat index. Overnight lows tonight getting down to around 79 to 81 Fahrenheit. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up in just a bit. This weather check brought to you by Star General Insurance, made simple.
Wake up, it's a new day.
You are listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing today's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9.
Elevate your gadget game, or a tech trouble simply slowing you down? Escape to a world of innovation at Custom Computers, your go-to store for the latest cutting-edge tech. Whether you need to upgrade your life with the best from Apple and Windows, or your device needs a little TLC, the Custom Computers Know-How Store is the destination for unbeatable expertise and quality repairs. With two convenient locations, there's a Custom Computers near you on Patton Street in Palmdale and Cades Village, or call 396-1100.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clocks and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now.
You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Valpo Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds. And leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
If you're done with gas prices burning a hole through your wallet, stop paying the price and start driving the solution. A BYD EV from Easy Car Sales comes with an 80% drop in your fuel costs. So wave goodbye to gas lines and charge while you sleep. For 8 years, drivers like you have been breaking up with the pump and waking up to freedom. It's more than a car. It's a new way to be. It's a BYD. From the one and only authorized dealer in the Bahamas. Visit easy242.com to learn more.
No one likes a fender bender.
Oh, man.
From a little scratch to a full mashup, NUA Insurance has got you covered with auto insurance tailored to fit your needs and budget. For affordable rates with free on-site accident assistance, visit us online or in branch and just ask us. NUA Insurance. Ask us because we've got you covered.
Every day in a busy world, we have to do so much. Bank with CIBC and get that personal touch. Share your ambitions, let us help your dreams come true. At CIBC, we're at the heart of all we do. We're on your side, we're listening, we know the way you feel. CIBC, ambitions stay real.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. Don't you know that it's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for your smart devices. Also on your televisions, on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at Morning Blend 969 or facebook.com/morningblend969. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC 422-4796. Standard text rate supply. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, Chester Robards. Chester Robards, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Did a great job, I'm told, while I was couple days off. Just one complaint. Apparently you didn't tell people that they were stupid.
Oh. So that was the complaint.
Hmm? Got to work on that.
Boy.
That
was right.
So,
I'll do better next
work. We'll work on that. So, that's a treat for the listeners yesterday. They'll get that. All right, so, a lot to talk about, but we're looking forward to our guest this morning. Cuban ambassador to the Bahamas, Juan Carlos Markov Sanchez, is going to be joining us. Okay. We have a lot to talk with him about. Looking forward to that discussion
indeed
this morning. All right, but right now, let's talk about what else is in the news. And in the news, the big headline of the National Guardian, I don't think it's any surprise. It should have been announced, if you ask me, a couple of days ago. But anyway, the government finally announcing short-term travel bans, temporary bans, to countries currently undergoing an Ebola outbreak. So it's for 30 days on travelers to the Bahamas who recently visited the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, Uganda, and South Sudan. And the government announcing that this will take effect immediately and will remain in place for 30 days. It comes after two men who recently traveled to the Bahamas from the DRC were placed in isolation. The men had fevers, which subsequently subsided. As of Sunday, they were placed in the modular unit at the Princess Margaret Hospital and undergoing monitoring procedures. But the Ministry of Health says they're not presenting any symptoms consistent with Ebola.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yeah, indeed.
But how long do they have to be in there?
Do not know.
Is the modular area like set up as a hotel or something? Are they sleeping in hospital beds?
It's at Princess Margaret Hospital. So,
are they getting food from the same place as the...
I don't know. They might wish to be sent back to DRC. Bahamian nationals who have been present in the DRC, Uganda, or South Sudan within 21 days of arrival in the Bahamas shall be subject to enhanced public health screening, we're also told. And the government says the Ministry of Health will continue to monitor developments and provide further guidance.
Enhanced public health screening. So, put in isolation.
Quite possibly, yeah. Many other countries announcing this yesterday as well, over the past couple of days, including, I believe, Canada.
I mean, it makes sense.
And the U.S. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Scary times.
Ebola, of all things,
very scary.
Is a scary thing.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. All right. So we'll keep you posted on that. We were talking about this off air. Nothing still on the 8-year-old child who was shot in Bimini.
Right.
Apparently by his 12-year-old brother in a hotel room. We've been asking whether these are Bahamian children, if they are visitors. Still no answer on that. What's the holdup? What's going on here? Whose gun was this? The very odd comments from the Minister of National Security on advising people with licensed firearms on how to make sure the children don't get their hands on them. And then that was fine, and everybody needs to be reminded of that, sure. But then the reminder about unlicensed firearms and how it's illegal to have them. What? Thank you. Thank you very much, Captain Obvious.
Illegal?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Nothing. Nothing's been said. This happened over the weekend.
It's interesting.
They were sent to the U.S., but...
on one hand, if they were local, it seems like, given our people, you would hear from other people.
Really?
In the know.
What does that mean?
I mean, it is Bimini, but I'm just saying.
I mean, when you get shot by an off-duty officer here...
clearly nobody knows them.
Nobody, people. Right. You don't hear things. Not really. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're inclined to believe, based on how things are so secretive, that these might not be Bahamians.
Right.
But we don't know. But it's just very odd.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What's the reason for this?
And then the article said the child was turned over by his uncle.
The 12-year-old.
The story said we're not sure if the parents would face charges, but where are they? Anyone in Bimini got any information on this?
Did it say parents or anybody?
Oh, I didn't know. Right. I thought it said parents.
It didn't say whether anybody would face charges. But... boy, just trying to keep mysteries going. Our life is like a
feel like Scooby-Doo?
Maybe the cartoon. I was going to say Columbo or Murder, She Wrote. But okay, Scooby-Doo might be more appropriate.
I think it is. It feels more like a Scooby-Doo episode than anything else.
Oh, boy. Okay. Keeping you guessing. That's how it is now around here. Interesting. Speaking of keeping you guessing, the gaming board fails to release promised statement on Bastion and Miller Bryce. Rachel Scott writing about this. As cabinet met for the first time, did you see the pictures? The pictures of the cabinet meeting?
I saw some. Oh, the meeting.
The table, yeah. The giant, that is like the length of rum key.
Did they put the middle in it?
They had to put several middles. Several middles. That table is long.
Yeah.
You see, they had to have microphones because you can't hear anybody on the east end.
That's true.
You probably have to get one of the moving, what do they call those things? In the airports?
They needed passport control to get to the other side of the table.
To send a document to the other side, put it on a moving conveyor belt, because it will take a few hours to get down there. But, wow. Well, I hope they can hear everybody with the mics, because we don't need a situation. You know when you play, you say something and you send a message to the next person by the time it gets to the end of the table.
Well, that's why they have the mics.
They say, let's invade Vietnam. What? Right. That can't be right. Yeah.
What did he say?
Anyway, so the first meeting yesterday, but questions remain unanswered by relevant authorities over the legality of the appointments of Sebastian Bastien and Leslie Miller Bryce, both of whom had clear ties to gaming businesses as ministers. Anyway, you get what they're saying. Anyway, last week, Gaming Board Secretary Tira Ramming said in a statement on the matter that a statement on the matter was in the works, but nothing had been released. When the Nassau Guardian reached out to Ramming yesterday, she said she could provide neither a comment on the matter nor an update on when the statement might be released. As you may know, the Gaming Act bars cabinet ministers or their family members from holding gaming licenses or significant financial interest in the holder of such a license. Despite this, however, Bastien, an Island Luck co-founder, was appointed Minister of Innovation and National Development, a newly created ministry, while Miller Bryce, whose husband co-founded A Sure Win, was appointed Minister of Culture, Arts, and Heritage. There's been no amendment to the Gaming Act, and in the months leading up to the election, Prime Minister Philip Davis said the government had no intention of bringing amendments to allow Bastien and Miller Bryce to sit in his cabinet. Both Bastien and Miller Bryce said they took steps to enable their appointments. Miller Bryce's husband resigned from his post as CEO of GLK Limited, which trades as A Sure Win, and noted an intention to step away from the gaming company and related financial interests. Bastien, when asked about the matter by reporters, said he had worked with the regulator to ensure that he was compliant and met all regulatory conditions. When Bastien declared his net worth ahead of the election, he noted that approximately $160 million of his family's assets were held in trusts, of which he is a discretionary beneficiary. It remains unclear, however, the extent of the steps taken by both ministers to distance themselves from the business and therefore the legality of their appointments to the cabinet. The government also has yet to offer any public explanation on the issue, and there's been some criticism, especially from the Bahamas Christian Council. Okay. Let's get your reaction to that. What do you make of that? Do you think you'll hear anything about that today with the public, budget communication set for this morning?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope the opposition plans to deal with it in their press conference.
Yeah.
I mean, here again, these are the things we thought they would be just stomping the ground on. But, you know, still not hearing anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed. Let's hear from you. 323-6232. Does it matter? Anybody care anymore? Is it just, you know, it's an unstoppable elephant? The table is long and it's just it's hard to get from one end to the other. And what's supposed to happen? What are we to do? We can't get answers on simple questions like who's this kid who got shot? Nobody's telling you that. But it's just, yeah. We're on this slippery downward slope, And it's getting harder and harder to find out anything in the country these days. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Call us toll-free, 242-300-5720. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Do you care what is to happen next? What should we do?
Maybe they will actually give the Freedom of Information Act some teeth. Maybe this
Who's
is the
they?
Calm before the storm.
Who?
Before the storm of information comes out.
You Rich people.
Have a lull.
This giant cabinet here?
Yes, that people. Mm.
Well, okay. Yeah, you know, it's maybe it'll be 40 degrees tomorrow, too. here. All kinds of things could happen. Caller, what say you? Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Dwightstrom. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Good morning.
Yeah. About three questions I want to ask. First of all, I was informed there was another drug bust between the Bahamas and Florida again. The next question is it also true that a person has resigned or stepped down from his office in regarding the $30,000 cash question?
In which country?
The politician from the Bahamas.
Okay, where are you getting your information from, Sparky?
You know, things come through social media, so you don't know what it's worth. Then you hear things on the radio and the Guardian. Yeah, but
you don't hear that. No,
I'm just asking questions. Have you heard anything about it? And last question I had to ask you. I went the other day on Sunday to a lady that was celebrating her 100th birthday, but not call her name. May God bless her and her family. And her husband's still living. And he's a few years younger than her. But she celebrated 100. But her son at the day asked me, he says, Sparky, I listen to you a lot of time on Guardian. Can you please find out for me why does Dwight have you blocked from calling in the Guardian so often? Have a good day.
Okay.
Didn't he just call?
I don't understand. You just called in.
He called while I was on.
You need to tell that son, how old is he? Because he's probably having some issues himself. Caller,
well,
good. Oh, boy. And also, you answered your question.
Exactly.
Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Sorry to chuckle and laugh. I can't understand the ending of Sparky's contribution a moment ago. yeah.
Oh, boy.
But, I was at a function yesterday evening, Bahamas, University of the Bahamas award ceremony. My daughter's graduating, and therefore I met one of your avid listeners, Mr. Whitney Thompson. So he asked me to let you know that he's always listening to your program.
Thank you.
I don't think the gaming board would be making any statement anytime soon, as they said. And I believe that they ought to. First and foremost, I want to know if Mr. Latrell Ramin, who I think he's now a senator, if he's also still the communication lead person for the government.
That's a great question. I've been wondering that, too. I was off last week. Chester, do you have an answer for that? Did that come up? Is he going to still be a senator and be the director of communications?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He still is communicating fairly frequently with the media and others. So,
well,
I don't know what the post is, though.
Caller, I think we're in an era of everything goes. You can be all and everything you ever were and wanted to be and continue to do it. That's what we're aiming for, it seems, in the Bahamas today.
Some of us.
Well, some of us. Some of us. It seems like a lot, though, especially when you look at this picture of the front page of the Guardian. A lot of us can be all they want to be. But some of us know. Nice. Good stuff. Good stuff. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, good morning. Are you there? No, okay. Good morning, caller, you're live.
Good morning to both of you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that we are heading toward or maybe on the periphery of a dictatorship. Yeah, it just feels that way because if the public is asking for information, that normally you used to get, and for some reason you're not getting it, and it's really information that should just come automatically. Why this person was shot, the investigation is ongoing.
Maybe not why, because that takes, you know, but at least who was shot, right? At least that, and where they're from. Those are basic things. That doesn't impede any investigation.
It's like you never know, because this is a very small country, and when you begin to investigate, you begin to, you know, move the rug from underneath, and you see all the roaches and things like that, and one of them roaches might be me. I don't want you to see me as a roach. I've become a roach, you know. So this is where we are, and the smaller the country become as it relates to persons not being able to get information and the government telling you point blank, we're not giving it to you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that dictatorship?
Well, it's something.
It's something. But you've been to school. I just went through school.
Mm.
So you may be able to find a word for it and let me know when you do.
I don't know if I can say the word on the radio. But yeah, it's definitely something. Thank you so much. Interesting times. Interesting time. So take another call before we get to your text messages. Good morning, caller, you're live. Hi, good morning. Are you there? Oh, call us back. 323-6232. 325-4316-5425-9. And to call us toll-free, 242-300-5720. Let's squeeze these in, and then we'll get to the messages. Good morning, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, election over, right? Election over, I think, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, tell NPL come take them stuff off them lamp pole, off the Trulovani on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay. Is it
one? Take all them garbage off the pole. Eh?
Is it only one party or is it everybody?
Only one party there. Only has one cell up.
Okay.
Him and Pentad. I don't know where Pentad. I don't know where, but him and Pentad. Tell them to take them garbage off the pole. Eh?
Okay.
PPL don't find them. Eh?
Before the election, they'd send out a
sorry, no, but afterwards.
Notice.
After the election, they take them stuff down.
The statute of limitations has passed on.
I don't know. We'll never know.
They should make a rule of that. Let them find them, because everyone has taken their town nice and quick, but they're still up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess he just ran across, he loses.
Well, you know.
Take them, fine all.
Thank you very much. I hope they heard. Okay. Great. Hi, caller. Good morning. You're live. Okay. This texter says here, the government should have taken certain precautions long before now. I believe Sebas and Leslie Miller-Bryce are still connected. Therefore, they should not be in the cabinet. Once connected, always connected. Look at it this way. If a sister of mine and I don't communicate, that doesn't disconnect us automatically. We're still sisters and remain related and connected. No, it's not a good example at all. It's not a good example. Not a good example. What? Yeah, that's not the same. I know. Okay.
It'd be better if they said, if my sister changed sexes.
Huh? What now?
She's still my sister.
What are you doing? Why are you trying
okay,
to...
That's not confused.
We're just coming off a holiday. It's just still, you know, not 100% yet. Brain functioning capacity. You just try to... Well, okay. Dwight, I would like to encourage you and your station to promote only Bahamian culture. I was very annoyed about one of your talk shows yesterday on the station. The show clearly had an agenda, and its guests, please promote a 242 show and only 242. I think I know which show they're talking about. I don't know if I should respond to this. So I suspect you're talking about Guardian Radio today when they were talking about Haiti and the history of Haiti and the challenges, yeah. I don't know. I think you're being a little myopic there, but also, I think they were trying to explain the significance of the history of the country and its impact on the Bahamas. So I don't know if it's fair to say it was not a 242 show. But I appreciate your text. This person says here, we have no police commissioner. What now? No one can tell me otherwise. In any city in the world, the police commissioner, the police officer in charge would make a statement with regular updates, especially for high-profile cases. I was shocked yesterday to find out that an ambassador was fired for the removal of significant client funds and denied positions in any financial institution for 20 years by the Securities Commission, but no sign of criminal charges or court case.
Ambassador resigned.
Well, this was not quite a plea deal, but this was an arrangement.
An arrangement,
yeah.
Right.
So that's why there was no criminal matter there. But okay, those are two. I don't know why you brought that up in relation to the first part, which I think you might be onto something with the first part of your text. This texter says, in reference to the appointments of Bastian and Bryce, there is no need. Or someone has to take the matter to court and get a legal finding. Okay.
Well, exactly.
You know, who's going to do it?
The opposition said they were going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So how far have they gotten on that?
Right, right. Dwight, sometimes your sense of humor is lost on me, but you were missed. Okay, thank you. I work for a regulator, and if they have political appointees, which they all do, those regulators can be compromised. Oh, boy. Maybe I shouldn't have read that one out loud.
That's
a serious text. Oh, my goodness.
Delete it quick.
That's a serious text. Okay.
Not that one would not think that could be the case.
And in many different sectors.
Yep.
And as we said, in this be-all-you-can-be era that we're in, plenty of these people are in all manner of sectors that have regulators and can influence a lot of things that happen to places that those regulators regulate.
That story about the senator is probably much deeper than you may think. I'm not going to go into the rest of our Scooby-Doo mysteries.
Okay, okay. I'm just wondering, do you think if the FNM had appointed ministers under the same circumstances, Leslie Miller would have offered his observations? Oh, did he?
If what?
No. Did he? Leslie Miller? Okay. Sure. This administration didn't answer important questions last time, and these people put them back in power for 5 years. Do you think they will answer any questions now? Maybe in 2030 you can get your answers. No,
these people put them back in power.
I don't think it works like that. We don't just have to sit back and let them not answer the questions. It doesn't work like that. If you think it does... On the gaming board... Okay, we got to stop. This is a lot of stuff here that's going to get... Wow. Okay. Everybody's... Okay. Let's get these calls in. I feel like these text messages could be used in court cases. These are interesting.
Oh, boy.
Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I would just like to say that there are still posters on the polls from both parties.
Mm.
I'm hoping that they will all come down, but I mean, the person who called us recently seemed so frustrated that a particular party is still up. Well, on my street, the other party is still up, so let's leave that alone for now. But just let me say this, please, Mrs. Strawn, regarding the situation with the children, there was a little more clarity on a news item from another station last night. It spoke about the boy being... a student at a particular school in Bimini.
Really?
And that he, indeed, what was said on the radio, it was indeed true. But the fact that it's still not clear is that who are the parents?
Mm-hmm.
It's still not saying who the parents are. But he did go to school in Bimini, and that's all we know. And he is, Yes?
Or does that mean that they're bangers?
Well, you know, that's the thing. It right. is still very unclear as to still what happened and how these children were left and who left them alone. That part is still very unclear. But all we know that he was a student going to school in Bimini at Gateway School. That's the name of the school.
That's a private school.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. This mystery, you've got to piece this piece by piece, eh? To find out. I don't know why it has to be this difficult.
Let's get over to the mystery bus, gang.
And then pull off somebody's mask. We would have gotten away with it too, Matt, if it hadn't been for you. Anyway.
There's some people going to school in their car who doesn't understand.
No, yeah. Well, that's cool. That's fine. Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Hi, are you there? Good morning. You're live. No, okay. Let's read some more messages, and then I want to move on to another topic. That show on Haiti was unimpressive. Wow, Haiti reminds me of the football player who peaked in high school, but it's just not popular anymore. You're ridiculous. What are you saying?
He's done the Uncle show.
Yeah. Go sit down and stop trying to dominate the conference. Old stories about your glory days. What the heck?
You are a very ignorant person.
Wow. Wow, that is really foolish.
Yeah.
Well, if the number one draft pick on the football team going to the NFL was attacked by all kinds of other leagues and blown up and subjugated, then maybe this story would make a little bit of sense, your text, but okay, we got him. Oh, dear. Boy.
And so upset that the hours and then the whole night to sleep on
next
later.
Day, still talking about
still
it.
Still upset.
Well, I'm glad you all listened. Thank
what
you.
What a time.
I'm sure Anku would be very happy to know that you all removed in some way.
I'm sure that they learned something. And then, in their newly enlightened state, get angry.
Mm-hmm. What?
What a time.
I don't understand it. This person says, I'm a Bahamian. I thoroughly enjoyed the show yesterday. I learned a lot about Haiti that I didn't know.
People who hate education.
That's a pastime here. All right, so this story here, folks, calls, we'll get back to you in a second, but this is interesting. This headline in the other paper, in the Tribune today, this reminds me of the Minister of National Security yesterday telling you that it's illegal to have an unlicensed firearm. So this headline is, buying a home is out of reach for most. That's the headline in the Tribune today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
This is shocking. This has been the case for my entire existence.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So this is according to a study.
Study? Where did this study come from?
I need to go back on vacation because my first answer to you is not going to be something I could say on the air. Bahamian tourism and food industry workers earn on average just 38% of the salary needed to service a median New Providence mortgage and meet bank debt stipulations. It's been revealed with this nation's house price-to-earnings ratio branded remarkably high. The Inter-American Development Bank. In a just-released March 2026 study on home affordability in the Bahamas, reaffirms that formal housing solutions are increasingly out of reach of low- and middle-income households. Increasingly.
Mm.
With New Providence's house price-to-home-to-income index, which measures affordability by comparing real estate costs to earnings, shown as being among the highest in the world at 141-1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they just wanted a big headline to jump out of people, I suspect, because now we're told to go to the business section. But again, I think children could tell you this.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the IDB.
They're praying their parents pass on a house.
Give them a house, right? And hopefully they don't have 25 siblings. The report revealed that this ratio in 2024 was higher than all major developed countries such as the U.S., Canada, U.K., and every major OECD country, I guess, as it warned that home ownership prospects for many middle and lower class Bahamians are becoming increasingly bleak without fundamental policy reforms that address declining new home builds and the ever-increasing number of existing properties that are falling into disrepair or becoming vacant. And further highlighting the growing gap between housing affordability and costs that had been previously exposed by the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and others, the IDB study estimated that aspiring home buyers need to come up with $66,700 in cash up front to cover bank and legal costs, not even including the VAT due on any sale, to qualify for a mortgage to purchase a New Providence property priced at the median $460,000 based on sales data. $460,000.
That's the median?
No.
The median?
No way. Stop it now.
That just goes to show you, very expensive.
But I don't believe that, though.
Oh, that's probably true.
I mean...
But see, the median, don't forget.
Yeah, but why would you look at the median?
I'm just saying. Because...
Because we've got all these million-dollar properties and stuff. And yeah. Almost multi-million. So median is not the right one to look at.
Well, I mean, what would you look at, though? Because...
This is just like the GDP thing, right? That skews, people say it's skewing.
Right. How the Bahamas receives certain things from the international community.
Because of all the people who are making so much here. Correct. That's the same type of thing.
Not necessarily, because when you look at, let's say, middle class people, right? There are certain, again, when we had this conversation with people, there are certain areas in the Providence they don't want to live.
Sure.
And so they wouldn't buy property there. They wouldn't buy housing there. They wouldn't rent there. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. And I guess the way you should look at it is look at the median.
Well, it makes for interesting headlines.
It does. It does.
But okay. 460,000. Wow. Utilizing this price as a benchmark, the IDB researchers found there was a near $3,400 gap between the average monthly salaries earned by tourism and food industry workers and what would be required to service the mortgage on a $460,000 New Providence property, while also meeting bank lender demands that they maintain the 45% debt service ratio set by the central bank. Okay.
I was going to say, did we save money to eat? Servicing that debt?
Oh, boy. Well, that's depressing. Well, this is why we need more affordable housing and a real discussion, a plan on what it means to be an affordable house and how we're going to make that accessible.
We need some kind of dissection of real estate owned by rich foreigners and real estate that's attractive to Bahamians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you could separate that same median that you're talking about, and then maybe you could start to price property and value property on New Providence. That's where they talk about.
Sure.
In a different way. I don't know.
We've got to go to the news. We're going to pick this up on the other side. I want to get your reaction to that and your comments about this. This is Morning Blend on a Wednesday morning here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Thank you. Welcome back to Morning Blend on Guardian Radio. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. Also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796. And now at 8:17, it is time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. So we've got a near gale warning in effect for the central and southeast Bahamas that will continue through tonight. The whole country will remain under the influence of a broad high-pressure ridge through tonight, with occasional pockets of low-level moisture generating some isolated passing showers. Meanwhile, a relatively light or tight pressure gradient will maintain fresh to strong breezes through tonight. So this pattern is forecast to weaken late Thursday into early Friday as the ridge shifts eastward and a surge of moisture will enter the area from the west. Cloudier conditions, along with increasing showers and thunderstorms, will spread across the northern and northwest Bahamas before reaching the central islands and portions of the southeast Bahamas by Sunday or even Saturday. The unsettled weather pattern is expected to continue through Monday, mainly across the northern half of the country, as additional moisture streams in from the Caribbean and troughing develops across the area. So be ready for that. In the meantime, though, for today, we've got a high risk of dangerous rip currents along all East Coast and Atlantic exposed beaches, especially in the southeast and central Bahamas. And we've got to deal with the UV and heat index. We've got UV indices expected to be in the very high range and heat indices in the upper 90s. So your forecast for today. Look for partly sunny to sunny conditions this morning, becoming a mix of sun and clouds by this afternoon for most areas, turning mostly fair tonight with a 20% chance of showers. The central islands, though, looking at a mix of sun and clouds for most of the day today, becoming fair tonight with a 20 to 30% chance of showers and possible gusts to near gale force for the central and southeast Bahamas. High temperatures today, getting up to around 90 Fahrenheit, 32 Celsius. For the heat index, will make it feel like it's as hot as 98 Fahrenheit, 37 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 79, 80, 81 Fahrenheit, about 26, 27 Celsius. In your extended outlook for tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy to variably cloudy for most areas, with a 20 to 40% chance of showers, mainly for the northern and northwest Bahamas. Shower chances increasing by the evening into the night. And by Friday, partly cloudy to cloudy with a few overcast periods during the day for the northern half of the country, remaining partly cloudy to cloudy at night. A mix of sun and clouds for elsewhere. Elevated rain chances up to about 50% chance of scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Some showers may be heavy and thunderstorms strong to severe at times by Friday. And Saturday, still cloudy to mostly cloudy periods with overcast conditions at some times. And still a 30 to 50% chance of showers. That's going to hold into Sunday, where you might see the highest chance of rain over the next few days, up to 70% chance of showers with thunderstorms for the northern half of the country before easing on Monday. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. If you're looking to paint, your local Sherwin-Williams store has top quality paints, expert advice, and everyday discounts to help you save only at Sherwin-Williams. And time for a check of traffic, brought to you by NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. So we've got a number of hot spots for you. We've got Independence Drive, heavy traffic both directions, east and westbound, between the roundabouts of East Street and Blue Hill Road. And both Blue Hill Road and East Street seeing some slow-moving northbound traffic mainly. So with Blue Hill, you're seeing that from Carmichael Street through to Independence Drive and picking up, once again, north of that area, heading on the way up to Corrado Avenue. But heaviest between Carmichael and Independence Drive. At East Street also, the heavy traffic just north of Sapodilla Boulevard straight through the intersection with Soldier Road on the way to Robinson through that roundabout with East-West. Elsewhere, we've got Marla Butler Highway, heavy, heavy traffic this morning from well south of Hamster Road and Alexandria Road all the way through the roundabout with Fire Trail and up to Tonic Williams-Darling Highway, and that's going to extend north of that area into New Providence Highway as well. And at the six-legged roundabout, we've got John Kennedy Drive, slow-moving eastbound traffic. And southbound on New Providence Highway, also seeing some heavy traffic there. Saunders Beach, West Bay Street, looking busy for you as you approach that roundabout New Providence Highway. And that's eastbound traffic at this hour. Slow-moving eastbound traffic along West Bay Street once you get east of Arawak Key, heading into downtown. And then we've got Eastern Road in Eastern New Providence, slow-moving traffic from San Susie to just west of Fox Hill Road this hour. Still heavy traffic for you at major intersections along Prince Charles Drive and Bernard Road near the schools in the area. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Glen Traffic Alert, brought to you by NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, your partner for smart motor insurance and advice that puts you first. Whether you're at home or on the go, getting an instant motor quote is easy. Give them a call or visit your nearest branch or log in anytime at nuainsurance.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
We are back with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio, 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Chester Robards on this Wednesday morning. Coming up, we are scheduled to be talking with the Cuban ambassador to the Bahamas. You're looking forward to that discussion with him today. But we continue with what's in the news. Before the break, we were talking about the story, this report from the IDB on just how challenging it is for most people in low to middle income ranges to afford a home, just to even qualify for what is the median price of a home in New Providence today, which is, according to this report, $460,000. Based on sales data. Wow. So that is what we're talking about. What are we going to do about this? This is out of reach for most people, indeed. There was a lot of talk before the election, Chester, but how confident are we that we're going to see any movement, any changes over the next few years?
That's the question.
Ah, boy. Give us a call. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Call us toll free. 242-300-5720. You can tweet us. You can Facebook us. You can text us. 422-4796. So before we get to the call, so this report says that the IDB said that the Bahamas' affordable housing woes have developed even though the increase in New Providence real estate prices over the past decade has not exceeded international norms. While financing costs have actually dropped due to declining mortgage rates. But it says, despite real estate price appreciation in New Providence not being out of line with international benchmarks and a decline in mortgage interest rates during the last decade, housing affordability remains limited for low and middle income households, evidenced by a remarkably high house price to income index. Taking $460,000 as the median sales price for New Providence in 2024 and comparing this to a nominal disposable income per capita at $39,455 or $3,288 per month. See, they're really looking at some unusual things. The report added that based on these data, the index for New Providence and Paradise Island in 2024 was 141, remarkably high by international standards. By comparison, the index is 116 for the OECD, 105 for the European Union. Oh, my. 131 for the U.S. The closest to the Bahamas was shown to be Canada at 137.1. Wow. The IDB then translated this into the implications for the Bahamian middle and lower income homeowners aspiring to own their piece of the rock. Ignoring the VAT payment on completed real estate transactions, it said mortgage borrowers are typically required by the banks to come up with a down payment equal to between 10 to 20% of the purchase price, legal fees of around 1.5 to 2%, a 2% bank commitment fee and stamp tax at 1%. Realtor commissions, as well as the VAT, was excluded from the VAT. The report's calculations, well, it's usually factored in. The commissions are usually factored into the price, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the study said that the cash reserve requirements for a person to be pre-qualified for a home in New Providence, the cash on hand that would be required for mortgage applicants, would be $66,700 for the median price in New Providence. Okay.
Well, now you see why you have to become a politician.
What now? Oh, boy. Okay. Let's hear from you, and then I'll say what I need to say here. But caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning to you, Dwight, and to your Chester, Jesse Allen Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Dwight, I just want you to pay attention to what that report, the statement of it said. It's an affordability crisis. It's something that myself and my wife have been seeing for over 5 years in the Bahamas. The problem is that when you look at conventional financing methodology, it becomes almost a daunting environment. But when you move into the fintech environment and alternative construction technology that's available in the market today, we can overcome these things. I don't want to make it political, right, but I wrote about this. It is important that though the free national movement did not win the election, it's important for policies that when it's good policies, that they should encourage the free national movement to share their policy position with them on how they would achieve this. Or the alternative would be to pay a consultant who understands what has to be done. But let me tell you how this ties into what we call the slums and the shanty town and the latest discussion concerning rent control. When you move affordable housing into the market, you don't need rent control or these quality control, whatever, because people have choices. So if I have a choice of a slum-type environment, and like we say in the inner city, for, say, $1,000, and I have the same choice for a new-build quality accommodation for equal to or less than what they are offering, that place, that a slum, becomes not a non-option. And it's the same capacity when you talk about with the houses in the bushes or whatever you want to call those shanty towns. But in the same thing, what you do is you solve the quality problem by solving one problem. It takes care of the quality homes. It takes care of the availability. It takes care of a whole lot of different things. We don't even have to talk about the 30,000 people on work permit that we don't know exactly where they stay and all of these different variations. And so we do need a more comprehensive study and understanding rather than simply screaming, oh, we're building more houses. But this is not a problem. This is an unapplied solution. And so, but you can't use yesterday ideology and methodology to solve today's reality. And that's the problem that we have. But there is solutions to this, not no pie in the sky or anything of that sort. Because if you actually do a study, Dwight, you know what you'll find out when you discount what is there and don't count the 25,000 homes that's sitting empty on the books, you would probably have the need for housing. Homeownership and housing are two different things, Dwight. The need for affordable housing, which is a whole subject from homeownership, could very well be between 40,000 and 60,000 homes. And I would invite eviction. Not I think, I feel, I believe, because I have the data.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Cielo. Yeah. Something you said in the beginning, though. The affidavit, should they share it? Are they waiting to be asked to show us how you were going to do that thing that you said you were going to do?
Share it with whom?
With the very large administration we have now.
Not going to happen.
But if we believed that they were going to be able to do that, which I think a lot of people might have had some challenges with, but we need everybody to come to the table to see if we can solve this matter. But is it going to happen? I guess we said.
There are many problems with housing affordability and real estate in the country and the people selling real estate in the country, some of it illegal, you know.
This Texas says, I wouldn't share a thing with them. Well, they see that we're going to end up with the same challenge. I mean, nobody can afford a home, right? If you have a plan, this is only getting worse. We were saying this 10 years ago.
It's only going to get worse.
We were saying this 20 years ago, right?
And salaries are not going to shift in any significant way.
No.
But housing prices will.
Wow. Let's take another call. Good morning, call. You're live on the air. Are you there?
Good, how you do?
Doing well.
Morning to you and your guest.
Good morning.
Are we building a country? I mean, see, Ireland and Doors had such a good idea. The idea song, convincing sometime. You know, why not sit down with the Minister of Housing? Why try not have an audience with somebody in the government? And let's try and build this country, man. Election is over. People are still campaigning. Let's work together now. The FNM and the PLP is now part of the government. You know, I mean, let us try and let's see if we can have an audience with Mr. Bell, the Minister of Housing. Sell some of that idea to him. Let's see if we can help him.
I hear you. I hear you.
I don't believe that good ideas do not exist within the parties that exist right now. I just believe that there's too much pressure from places outside of here to leave everything the way it is, because it's benefiting people who have pull.
Well, I don't know if the IDB looked at it, if they included the rent issue, that would be even as shocking, if not more shocking, than what's going on with a mortgage.
What's interesting is you know, this whole Crown Land issue, right? You got Bahamians who have complained for years that they've applied for Crown Land and can't get it. But you could come in as a foreigner, apply with the whatchamacallit people who do all the stuff for you, who roll out the red carpet for you, investment authority.
Sure.
And get a piece of Crown Land post-haste. You hear about people who literally have to fight for Crown Land, and these guys come in and get it readily with the red carpet rolled out.
Yeah,
That's a microcosm, because most Bahamians ain't looking for Crown Land. They're just looking for a little something that they could afford.
Yeah,
you know, so they don't want to be given anything or lease something for a negligible amount of money.
Well, this texture says here, median is the number to use. If they use mean, the value would have been skewed. That would have skewed the number even higher. Well, I think that perhaps capping it, let's say 500,000, even that would still be challenging for most people to afford a house if you look at that range.
Yeah.
So but if you're trying to make... Maybe it's more comparable to other countries. If you use the median, and I get it. I get it, but...
It probably gets worse if you talk about couples versus singles.
Sure. I mean, we've always known that.
And if a couple can't afford...
Exactly. But even if it were capped at a certain amount, like, because you know you cannot affording the upper end of these prices around New Providence, it would still be a massive challenge for most people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, some messages before we have to take a break. This person says here, the power's been off in Eleuthera since 10 p.m. last night. The situation is past frustrating. And they're asking about progress. They're texting us every week about that, right? This text says here, I believe the Fourth Estate is not as aggressive as they were in the past. They wait for news to come to them. In the past, journalists became friends with police investigators. Okay. They were kept up to date on various matters of interest. Solid information was given that could not be denied. I think...
That's probably true.
I think that's still happening. But, you know, the challenge... I don't think I should say anymore. Yeah, sometimes... Sometimes being a friend is a challenge. What should be the minimum, average, medium, and maximum salary of a teacher, nurse, and broadcaster? Please tie your answer to three of the following items. One, media persons moving into government offers. Two, increased salaries in the Bahamas mentioned by Minister of Finance. And three, cost to purchase a middle-class house. Okay, that sounds like a homework assignment. Sure. Where did the IDB get the sales data from? Must be a luxury real estate company because those are serious prices there. I don't know. I inquired on buying a home valued at $316,000. The entire closing cost is approximately $50,000 cash. Of that $50,000, only $12,500 is my down payment. The rest is tax, lawyer fees, etc. This was a place in Carmichael. There are homes in Yellow Elder selling for $280,000. Serious times we live in. With regards to home ownership, maybe we need to have those conversations with our children at early ages to prepare and be more knowledgeable of real estate and what it takes to obtain a home, I think they're trying to say. The average person usually waits until they are in their 30s and 40s before seeking a home. By then, life has taken its course with various other responsibilities competing for the salary.
Like those children.
Sure, it doesn't hurt, but the prices will still be rising.
Yep.
This texter says here we are in a weird relationship with the IDB. We depend on them for capital injection, but our results are always poor. So poor that the IDB themselves conducted a study on their poor results. It's almost like they have a parasitic relationship with us.
What results?
What? It's like government and its relationship with voters. They need majority-dependent voters to continue their recurring poor results. I think you might be mixing them up with some...
Results?
I don't know if I... Okay. Sure. If the FNM said they have a plan and the PLP say they are a talking fool and now the PLP is back in power, then why should they help them if from the onset they said the FNM plan would not work?
Is that what they said?
They were criticizing it, sure.
Okay.
Well, because it's bigger than them.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe. And if they ever get back in, it'll be even harder to do the things they say they want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe. Dwight, with the house prices I heard you read a while ago, we are in a bad state. The average person will not be able to afford a house. Government needs to make it possible that some of the islands, needs to make some of the islands attractive to grow and get people to stay on the other islands instead of trying to get to New Providence, I think they're trying to say. We've also been saying that for years.
Yeah.
For decades, and we're not getting any better, and the population of New Providence continues to grow, and we are depopulating those other islands. So we've got to stop the talking and really get serious about all of this.
And as the other islands are depopulated, the people with money are coming in to buy the real estate.
Buy up all the land out there.
And build their second home and then rent it out on Airbnb.
Because you remember when it was affordable to buy land on the Navajo Island?
I remember. Now it's surely.
So it's... I don't know what we're going to do.
Somebody got to do something quick.
But perhaps, even though it is a very obvious headline, maybe seeing it in big, bold print like that will get some people to act.
At the next government meeting.
Hopefully they saw it today and will make an announcement today about something they're going to do with budget communication. Buying a home is out of reach for most. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking with the Cuban ambassador to the Bahamas. This is going to be a great discussion, folks. Stay tuned to Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Don't be a rude boy. Won't help in any way. Study real hard, boy. Someday it's going to pay. Don't ever stop, boy. Remember what mama say. Or you will find a mean world waiting to play. Drive the nail right, boy. Hit it on the head. Strike with all your might, boy. Drive the iron is red. When you work to do, boy, you must do it with the will. They who reach the top, boy, must first climb the hill. Standing.
The unsung heroes give us pride in the present, hope for the future, and most importantly, become living examples of the best that we can be.
CIBC Caribbean wants to reward the unsung heroes in our communities. Do you know someone who's been doing outstanding work in their community or performed an extraordinary act of heroism, bravery, or kindness in the last 12 months? Nominate a hero today. Go to CIBCCaribbean.com to learn more.
In the world of business, technology is not a choice. It's a necessity. And for businesses that demand excellence, there's only one choice for unparalleled support and cutting-edge technology. Custom Computers. You have challenges and we have solutions. Computing, networking, storage, and printing for enterprises large and small, aligned with premium brands like HP, Microsoft, Konica Minolta, and more. Get tech done the right way with Custom Computers. Call the know-how team at 396-1101.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the gold package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Every day in a busy world, we have to do so much. Bank with CIBC and get that personal touch. Share your ambitions, let us help your dreams come true. At CIBC, you're at the heart of all we do. We're on your side, we're listening, we know the way you feel. CIBC, ambitions made real.
Don't shop at Sherwin-Williams then. Don't get the best service in the Bahamas then.
The love is really, really strong in Sherwin-Williams. We don't just sell paint. We service you with a smile, good hearts, mind, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. And we love our customers as much as we love ourselves. Yes.
Real talk.
I'm not just saying this to impress myself.
We love to go beyond the customer service. So they feel delighted to come and serve in Williams because they know I can either see Dee Dee, or I can see Shelly, or one of our other wonderful staff members. We treat our customers with the respect of our boss because there are many paint companies they could choose to go to. No, baby. If they go to some other paint companies, so I don't care. This little ting at the end of the week.
We want to make sure you get that little ting, Shelley. Come visit Shelley and Dee Dee at Sherwin-Williams Bahamas, and you'll surely find color in every day.
No one likes a fender bender.
Oh, man.
From a little scratch to a full mashup, NUA Insurance has got you covered with auto insurance tailored to fit your needs and budget. For affordable rates with free on-site accident assistance, visit us online or in branch and just ask us. NUA Insurance. Ask us because we've got you covered.
Yeah.
and I'm walking down them rocky, narrow dirt roads. With a basket of potatoes on my head. Oh, don't you worry, I come from down home. Now, oh, baby, they have potato bread. They make it down home. Outside the Dutch farming down home.
Welcome back to Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Chester Robards, and we are very honored to have with us as our guest this morning, Cuban Ambassador to the Bahamas, Juan Carlos Markov Sanchez. Good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, Dwight, and good morning, Chester.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me here.
All right, so you haven't been here very long. Tell us when you came to the Bahamas.
Yes, actually, I just arrived last February.
Okay.
So I have been here for 3-4 months, mm-hmm. and so I am quite new.
Right, right. Well, it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, so let's talk about the relationship between the Bahamas and Cuba, and where things stand between the two countries at this point.
Mm. Yes. So Cuba and the Bahamas share not only close geographical proximity, our relation is very deep, in based on historical and cultural ties. No, we have our national hero, the national hero of Cuba, Jose Martí, visited the island of Inagua in the 19th century when he was preparing the what we call the necessity war, the necessary war against the Spanish colonial rule. Mm-hmm. His presence in the Bahamas formed part of the broader ties with the Caribbean region. He received the support of the people from Bahamas,
wow,
from Inagua.
Mm-hmm.
And today there is a bust in his honor in the island of Inagua.
Mm-hmm.
So we are likewise united by joy, and that defines our peoples,
mm-hmm,
by our shared love of music, by our enduring bond with the sea, and by the African heritage that flows proudly through our veins.
Yeah. Wow.
Our countries have maintained diplomatic relations grounded in mutual respect, solidarity, and constructive cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we have worked closely in areas of common interest like health, education, agriculture, sports, disaster preparedness, climate resilience, maritime security, and regional integration.
Mm-hmm.
There have been notable expressions of the strong bonds that unite us. The Bahamas has continuously supported Cuba in its call for the lifting of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by the United States against Cuba.
Right.
In fact, the Prime Minister, Honorable Philip Davis, have raised this matter at the high-level segment of the United Nations General Assembly, a gesture that carries out profound significance for the Cuban people. And I take this opportunity to convey our deepest gratitude,
yeah,
to the government and the people of Bahamas for the supporting of this.
Wow. All right. So I want to talk more about the ties. You talked about the in healthcare and education in a bit. But let's, you mentioned the embargo. Let's talk about and the blockade and what's happening now. And we know it's been a very challenging past few months. Especially after Venezuela, what happened there, and the impact that's having on Cuba right now. How bad are things right now and with what's going on?
Mm. First of all, Dwight, I would like to go to the genesis of this. Talk about a little bit about the history of the embargo. Mm. So how it rises and why and I brought here a memorandum. It was written in the April 6, 1960. It was a secret memorandum at that time, written by a subsecretary of state from the United States. The name was Lester Mallory. In that memorandum that I have here, you can see it, and now people can search and find it on the internet, because it was declassified, and now it is on the internet, you can search. In this memorandum, it is said, the majority of Cubans support Castro. The lowest estimate I have seen is 50%. There is no effective political opposition. If the above are accepted, so he's talking about what he just mentioned, or cannot be successfully countered, it follows that every possible means should be undertaken promptly to weaken the economic life of Cuba. If such a policy is adopted, it should be the result of a positive decision which would call forth a line of action which, while as adroit and inconspicuous as possible, makes the great inroads in denying money and supplies to Cuba, to decrease monetary and real wage, to bring about hunger, desperation, and overthrow of the government. So this is the genesis of the blockade, to try to create a situation in Cuba so the people feel this desperate hunger. Then it was implemented. It is a law in the United States.
And remind folks of the year this was.
It was in 1960, this memorandum. But then the embargo was adopted, the blockade was adopted in 1962. So Cuba have been suffering for the blockade, the sanctions from 1962 till this moment.
My goodness.
But what is this? So it is a law that tried to isolate Cuba or to have normal commercial, economic, and financial relation with the rest of the world. It's not only with the United States. It's also with the rest of the world. How it works, for example, it's written in the law. If Cuba would like to import a product that has a 10% component made by United States, by a company in the United States, it's illegal under the embargo. So you can imagine how complicated, how difficult it is in this moment to find products made only by one country or by one company, no? Mm-hmm. It's now we are living in a world that everything is connected.
Yes.
Everything is connected. So it really impacts in our economy, because if we would like to import anything, then we have to go very far away from our country and pay things expensive. So it really damaged our economy. Yeah. But not only this. For example, let's say, for example, the products or the components to reinforce or to put better our energy sector, no? Because it's very old, and we are trying to change our energy sector and to renew the one that we have. But if we want to buy something, then it cannot have a 10% component from United States. So it is very complicated. In the financial sector, many banks have been threatened from United States so to not have financial relations with Cuba.
Right. So this is a very challenging situation. It's been generations now. Don't know anything other than this.
Exactly. Most of the Cubans have lived under the embargo.
Yeah.
But what is new now? Because we have been living with this, and Cuba could survive, and Cuba could develop our country. In fact, if you see, for example, our health sector, in the field of education, in the sport, Cuba is a small country, but Cuba is the country in Latin America with more medals in the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. under the embargo, because before of that, it was not like this. Before of the triumph of the Cuban Revolution, it was not like this. Cuba started to have these achievements in the sport before of the Cuban Revolution, because it was a policy to our government to develop this. So, but Cuba could survive. Mm-hmm. Cuba could develop our economy, and we could have very important results. For example, in the field of biotechnology sector, we have developed so many treatments, important vaccines, for example, during the COVID times. Mm-hmm. And now there are very important treatments also that have been developed for our scientists. And we would like to share it not only with the Cubans, but also with the United States people. In fact, there are some of them that has been testing in the United States. There is one for the Alzheimer, which is having very, very good results in a clinic in Colorado. And also there is a vaccine against the lung cancer that is with very good results also in the United States. So, but what is happening right now that everybody knows following the news?
Right.
So, on January 29, the U.S. president signed an executive order that marks an intensification of the blockade. This new measure declares a national emergency order in which the U.S. government could impose trade tariffs on products that from countries that supply oil to Cuba. To justify this extreme action, the text on the order includes a series of unfounded and defamatory claims against Cuba. Among these is the absurd assertion that Cuba represents an unusual and extraordinary threat to United States national security. Who can imagine a country like the Cuban size can be a threat not only to United States, which is the main power, military and economic power in the world, but also to any other country. Cuba poses no threat to United States. Cuba poses no threat to any other country. But according to this executive order that was signed, since this December 25, till this moment, Cuba have just received one vessel of oil.
Wow.
Only one.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more or less 8 per month, mm-hmm. because we need to import oil. I mean, we have our own oil. We are trying to change also the matrix, because we are trying to generate electricity from renewable energy,
mm-hmm.
solar, but it takes time. And we can, for example, if you mix our own oil production with the energy that we produce, electricity that we produce from the energy,
mm-hmm.
we can reach during the day, because it depends on the sun.
Right.
We can produce during the day 50, 51, 52% of the electricity that we need, but the report. And this is our right. It's the right of every nation in the world to import, to have normal trade, commercial relations with the rest of the world. This is what Cuba is saying. Let us live in peace and let us to have trade relations with the rest of the world.
So we have to take a break in a moment, but how? What has been the impact of this?
Yes.
Not having the oil in since January, we've heard reports of frequent blackouts. How bad has that been?
Okay. So because of this, we have been having a lot of blackouts. For example, there are some places, cities in Cuba that have been more than 30 hours without electricity.
Oh, wow.
Of course, this is impacting in the production of food, also in the transportation, because, for example, you produce the food, but you have to transport the food to other places.
Right.
It is impacting in the public transportation. It is impacting in the health. And this is why we said that what is happening in Cuba is a crime.
Right.
It's an act of war. Because, for example, right now there are 100,000 people waiting for surgery. And among these 100,000 people waiting for surgery, there are 12,000 children waiting for surgery. How can you do surgery to a people if you don't have electricity, if you don't have the capacity to generate electricity? It is impacting also in our production of events. Cuba have been always a cultural center. We have theaters, cinemas, we have film festivals. All of this have to be reorganized. And we have been, because of the necessity, we have to reorganize our country based on priorities, based on priorities. So you can imagine that the impact is very rude, is very high, and our population is feeling the pain, is feeling the stress, is feeling this. And the justification that they said is that they are doing this to punish the government of Cuba. But who can imagine that doing this, the one who is punished is the Cuban government. It's the Cuban people who is collective, suffering from a collective punishment.
Absolutely. Well, we are talking with Cuban Ambassador to the Bahamas, Juan Carlos Marco Sanchez. We're going to take a break for news headlines. We're going to pick this up on the other side. A whole lot more to talk about here on Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Dawn, join the ranks.
Wendy's and Coca-Cola are giving you the chance to experience the Essence Festival of Culture in New Orleans, July 3rd through 5th. Upgrade any premium lunch combo to a large with the co-product for your chance to win. Win cash prizes, travel vouchers, or the grand prize, a VIP trip for two to Essence Fest. Grab a Dave Single, Asiago Ranch, Chicken Club, or three-piece tenders combo today. Eat big, sip Coke, win big with Wendy's and Coca-Cola. Rules and restrictions apply.
Planning for retirement can be overwhelming, but with CFAL, it doesn't have to be. We offer tailor-made individual group and pension solutions that take the guesswork out of retirement planning. Whether it's for you or your company, don't leave your future to chance and let the trusted hands of CFAL's experts guide you toward peace of mind and financial stability. Low upfront costs and affordable monthly payments make it easy for you to build wealth so you can live well. Visit us at CFAL.com to start on your path toward financial freedom. CFAL, growing for future generations.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important,
So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers the art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Morning Blend Business on this Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn along with Chester Robards. We have a special show today. We are talking with the Cuban ambassador to the Bahamas. Juan Carlos Marcos Sanchez is with us, having a great discussion before just outlining for us the how painful the embargo blockade has been for Cuba and how things have been, especially since January, what happened with Venezuela and how you've had one shipment of oil since January and we're almost in, and how challenging that has been impacting everything on the island.
Exactly.
Wow. So we've also heard during this time statements from the U.S. president about possible military action, possibly invading, very flippant with it about how he might do this, he might do that. Let's talk about that, the impact that's had, this uncertainty when you see what's happened with Iran and Venezuela, that Cuba might be next. What impact is that having on the people?
Before going that, I would like to mention just two or three examples that perhaps for the people to have better idea how is the impact of the blockade. For example, this is something that the Cuban people will never forget. The cruel implementation and tightening of the blockade measures in the areas of healthcare, medical equipment, and medicines will never, as I told you, be forgotten by our people as one of the darkest episodes in the enforcement of this policy against Cuba. During the COVID time, Cuba in one moment suffered problem in the industry to generate medical oxygen. And we did not have, in this particular moment, the oxygen that we need for the people with COVID, infected with the COVID. United States denied to send oxygen to Cuba and tried to interrupt the possibility for Cuba to import oxygen. So during that period, people died in Cuba who should not have died if they had the possibility to obtain the oxygen. At the present, Cuba's infant mortality rate has doubled. By the end of 2025, it stood in at 9.9 deaths per 1,000 leaf birds. The survival rate of children suffering from cancer declined from 18% to 65%. Because with this blockade, we are not able to obtain the medicines for the children suffering from cancer. So you can imagine how cruel is this embargo. Mm-hmm. As you said, Cuba at this moment is currently facing one of the most serious circumstances in its contemporary history. Our country is under the threat of a direct military aggression by the government of the United States. I just want to mention, in an interview on January 8, the President of the United States said, and I quote, "Well, I don't think we can apply much more pressure than going in there and destroying everything." He had been asked whether he would impose additional measures of economic pressure against Cuba. In his response, he acknowledged that the United States had almost completely exhausted its arsenal of pressure measures and that the only thing left would be to go in and destroy everything. Cuba does not seek conflict. We are and have always been a country commitment to peace. However, if we are firmly determined to defend our sovereignty and our independence at any cost. I mean, Cuba is a humble country, peaceful country. If you go and visit Cuba, everybody is going to receive you with the open arm. But we are definitely commitment to defend our homeland. Mm-hmm. There is no justification. Why? We don't see the justification, the reason why we have to suffer and to pass off from this moment. Mm-hmm. There will be many deaths from Cubans, and there will be many deaths from United States soldiers if they attacked our country. Cuba is open and have declared this publicly and privately to the U.S. government. We are ready to sit, to have dialogue, to negotiate, to have conversations, because this is the only way, through the diplomatic channels, through the dialogue, to resolve our difference, our bilateral differences. Okay? So we are able to sit to talk because Cuba, as I told you, does not seek the conflict. But This is very serious. Cuba takes very serious the declarations from the U.S. Government. Mm-hmm. So that's why Cuba is calling for the international community to pronounce in order to stop this possibility of a direct military aggression. Mm-hmm. This is the moment to express solidarity with Cuba. This is the moment to defend our region. In 2014, during a CELAC summit that was held in Havana, all the countries from Latin America and Caribbean region declared Latin America and Caribbean region a zone of peace. A zone of peace. This is something that we have to defend, we have to preserve, because an aggression against Cuba, it would have a direct impact in our region. Mm-hmm. So this is the moment to express solidarity and to express the concern about the possibility of a direct military aggression against our country.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're getting a really interesting text here, and I guess we believe this is the goal of the United States, so there can be democracy and free elections in the country. Although we look at how the U.S. is with other countries, and they don't have the same policy with China or even Russia, so it's odd. But well, what do you say to folks who are saying, well, why not just allow for regime change and free elections, and this would solve the problem? Easy, easy peasy.
So what Cuba is saying is that we are able to talk about bilateral issues, bilateral relations, bilateral cooperation. It is not under the table. It's not on the table to talk about internal affairs of Cuba, as we do not, of course, ask United States about their internal affairs. I mean, Cuba have never requested or asked to United States to change something in internal affairs, because this is the right of the U.S. citizens, the right of the U.S. government. So Cuba is saying the same. So we are ready to discuss, to talk, to negotiate, to have a dialogue based on mutual respect, based off independence, respect independence, respect self-determination, because we are an independent country. So based on that, if we respect this, then we can sit and talk about everything in bilateral. We have a lot of things in which we think that we can take advantage each one of each other, mm-hmm. one of each other. For example, in the security, maritime security, fighting against narco-traffic. For example, as I told you, commercial. For example, tourism. Cuba is open to receive the U.S. citizens as tourists. Something that now, according to the blockade, it is prohibited. So the U.S. citizens cannot go to Cuba as tourists. You can imagine for other countries in the region how would impact in their economies if the U.S. citizens cannot and visit these countries as tourists. What would be the impact? So Cuba is very open to talk about this, to receive also U.S. investments from companies that perhaps they are interested to have commercial and investment in Cuba. Cuba is open to talk and to dialogue about all of this. Matters in order to develop the bilateral relations. Mm-hmm.
Some of that changed under a democratic government in the U.S. How did Cuba look differently during that short period of time?
See, there is a history, a long history in the relations between Cuba and the United States. There is a history that goes, of course, even before of the triumph of the Cuban Revolution. You have to know that. I mean, by the end of the war of Cubans with Spanish colonial rule, when Cuba have almost won the war, then United States intervene in our country in this particular war, and then implemented in Cuba a military intervention that went from 1898 to 1902. The war in Cuba. So Cuba, at that moment, then constitute a new constitution of Cuba to have a republic. Then this republic was born with an index from U.S. calling Enmienda Platt. Platt because it was made by a U.S. Citizen named Platt. In that enmienda, it is mentioned that U.S. have the right, has the right to intervene in Cuba, wherever they want, and they can establish a naval base in Cuba. That's why
Guantanamo.
We have Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. Then, from there, we had in Cuba a lot of governments that responded continuously to the interests of United States. And in Cuba, created a movement of young people to change this. Mm-hmm. And that's why the figure of Fidel Castro rises and then triumphs the Cuban Revolution. So the interest from United States to take Cuba over, it's even before of the triumph of the revolution. Yeah. So from 1959 till this day, there have been always the commitment of Cuba and the willingness of the Cuban government to have dialogue. In fact, in the past, there have been many exchanges with all the Cuban leaders, with Fidel Castro, with Raúl Castro, with the current president of the United States, with the party, the Cuban Communist Party. Of course, the most successfully period, it was during Obama. You remember the conversation and the President Obama at that time, the diplomatic relations were reestablished, and we opened the embassy of Cuba, reopened the embassy of Cuba in the United States, and they reopened the embassy of the United States. So it's been a lot of different moments there, but the willingness of Cuba to have a dialogue, a constructive dialogue, to have normal relation, because United States is a country very near of Cuba. Yeah. So the willingness of Cuba to have normal relations with the United States, it has been always there.
Is the embassy open now, on the U.S. embassy?
Yes, it's still open. It is still open. Yeah.
All right. So what would you say to folks who are saying that they have concerns, though, about freedoms of the people in Cuba and the lack of ability to speak freely, and they are concerned about human rights issues? What would you say to folks who feel that way?
No, I mean, everybody has the right to think whatever they think. We have in Cuba freedom of thought. If you have visited Cuba, you will see that there are a lot of YouTube channels, a lot of media on the internet, and they speak openly about what they are facing, what is their point of view, So it is the right of everybody to think about what they say. But my recommendation is that they should go and visit Cuba and to see what is happening in our country, and to have conversation with the Cubans who lived in Cuba, because there are a lot of manipulated information in the big media. So, because at the same time, I did not mention this before, at the same time that all this is happening, all this economic war, all this embargo, all this blockade, there is at the same time a war in the media trying to hide what this memorandum says, that we have told, trying to say that all what is happening is because of the Cuban government, not because of the U.S. policy, not because of what is written in this memorandum. So the media, it's at the same time trying to convince the majority of the people that what is actually happening in our country is because of the incompetence of the Cuban government. But what is mentioned there, So it doesn't exist.
Wow.
I have to ask you, because you mentioned the Obama administration, and maybe you could explain maybe the relationship between Cuban Americans and Cubans in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But they celebrated Cuba opening up and the reestablishment of diplomatic relationships. Mm-hmm. But now maybe they're kind of oddly quiet about the state of Cuba.
As I told you, the majority of the Cubans who lived in the United States do not want a military aggression against our country. What they want, the majority of the Cubans who live there, is to have a normal relation with the families. And this is another thing that I did not mention. The blockade, I mean, a part of the blockade during the first term of President Trump, it was introduced 240 new measures. A part of the blockade, a part of the ones that it was in the blockade, one of these measures prohibited or tried to put limits of the remittances that the Cubans mm-hmm. who live in the United States send to their families
right.
in Cuba. Why? Because they know that it is, first of all, trying to cut the ties from the families, and a part of that because they know that the remittances are important for every country.
Mm-hmm.
There is no country in the world that have nationals living abroad that it's normal to receive remittances from the ones who live abroad to their families.
Right.
We can see it here. We can another part of the world. So what I can say is that you can see on the reports in the media, the majority of the U.S. citizens who live in U.S. and the majority of the Cubans who live in U.S. are in favor of having a good and normal relations with Cuba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how long do you think this can go on with the power outages you're talking about, the challenges to every aspect of life in the country? There's got to be a breaking point.
Cuba is going to defend our country. And, for example, we now are producing more oil than the one that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Our scientists just discovered a new way to refinate this oil to produce gas, to produce... We are at the same time our government is implementing the change of the production of energy through the solar. And Cuba is a very resilient country. We have been resisting the economic blockade, you know, from 1962. And we are going to defend our country. We will try to diversify our energy sector.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the Cuban people is suffering. The Cuban, our families that are there, our friends, our neighbors, they are suffering a very cruelty, a collective punishment. Why? Why is this happening mm-hmm. in our country? It's our people who are there suffering for this.
Yeah.
But definitely, we stay firm and commitment to continue defending our sovereignty, our independence. It's our right.
Wow. We're talking with Cuban Ambassador to the Bahamas, Juan Carlos Marco Sanchez. All right, so I want to talk about Cubans working in the Bahamas. We've had doctors, nurses, teachers, and we know there's been challenges of late. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and his warning to the region about people from Cuba working in the region, and what he said were abuses that were taking place in terms of how they received their salaries. We know there have been a lot of discussions with the Bahamian government and some changes in policy. But let's talk about where things stand at this point. I guess we can go back a little bit to where this started, but we want to find out where things stand now in terms of whether there are medical professionals here and teachers and how this is going to look going forward.
Mm-hmm. So the collaboration between our countries in the areas of health and education, it is very important for the people of Bahamas. This is something that I say very in a humble way, but it's in the spirit of Cubans and the spirit of the Cuban Revolution to be solidarity with a brother country that like is Bahamas. For example, Cuban educators began their work here in the Bahamas in 2003, more than 20 years they have been here. Several generations of Bahamian students have benefited from this instruction at preschool, primary, secondary, and special education levels, which is very significant for us. Since I am here, I have been hearing a lot of stories about how the work made by the Cuban teachers, especially in the special education. And we feel very proud. We feel very proud to help and to support for the development of those children. In the health sector, to cite but one example, few acts are as symbolic and meaningful as restoring sight to allow to a fellow human being. Thanks to the ophthalmological cooperation between our countries, Since 2023, more than 630 Bahamian patients have traveled to Cuba to undergo eye surgery. This achievement fills us with satisfaction and pride, as it represents the purest expression of solidarity and cooperation between brotherly countries. So for us, it's very important to maintain the solidarity, to maintain our support to the people of Bahamas. And also, we have a Latin American medicine school, university, and Latin America and Caribbean school university, medicine university in our country. Mm-hmm. And at this moment, there are more or less 20 Bahamians studying there. So for us, it's very important to continue having this cooperation with Bahamas, not only in the field of health and in the field of education. For example, in the field of tourism, we are two countries that can have a multi-destination tourism. Mm-hmm. It will be in the agricultural sector, for example. Mm-hmm. We know that as Bahamas is a small island, as us, we would need to be self-independent in the food production, mm-hmm. which is a challenge for us. Because of the impact of the climate change, because mm-hmm. of the impact of the weather, because of all of this, Cuba has experience in this, in the food production, and of course in the resilience to the climate change, and we are more than openly to continue collaborating with the people and the government of Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. Right now, are there Cuban doctors and nurses working here, or how, what has changed since?
Yes, yes. It is important to say that in Cubans who are here are more technicians, not doctors. We have just a small group of doctors, two or three doctors in the ophthalmological sector. Mm-hmm. That okay. What they are doing here is to making just the diagnosis. So they receive a patient, they see if you need surgery, then they recommend this prescription, then you travel to Cuba, receive the surgery, then you come back and they follow your post-operatory. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have. The rest are just a few nurses and few technicians of pharmacists. And
mm-hmm. All right, so when it comes to paying them, we've heard our Minister of Health say that he's in negotiations with the Americans on this, which is unusual. But are we paying them directly, or how does this work? What, can you explain that to us? Mm-hmm.
So we are aware. I will not go particularly in the Bahamas, but I will speak it to you in general. We are aware of actions carried out by the United States Department of State aimed pressuring Caribbean and Latin American leaders. And they have been approached governments in other regions to, and also in other regions, to question why those countries maintain such agreements with Cuba. In most cases, the response from those countries have been that they cannot do without the services provided by the Cuban health system, because the people needs this. Mm-hmm. Vulnerable people. There are some people that they cannot afford the high cost of the health to go to the health in the private sector. So we know that there have been a lot of pressure from them. But as I said, our health professionals still there, and our teachers also are still here.
Mm-hmm. And can you say how many teachers are here? Do we know?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. There are teachers here, not only in Nassau, but also in the Family Islands, mm-hmm. which is in nine Family Islands are teachers. As I told you, in Inawa, they are, and in Grand Bahama, they are. So for us, it's very, very important to continue the solidarity with, and to continue supporting, and to continue, because this is part of the Cuban spirit. Our national hero that I have mentioned to you in the beginning of this, he said that homeland is humanity. Homeland is humanity. Mm-hmm. So this is in our spirit, to share what we have, to support our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. And can you confirm whether we are paying them directly, or if that situation has been resolved? What do you know about that?
As I mentioned to you, there are different modalities of the cooperation. There are, for example, some places, some countries in which Cuba is completely free, and there are some other places, some other countries in which we have agreements with the governments, different agreements with the government, but it's completely legally, completely self-right of bilateral relations to have agreements with different countries. So there is a variety of modalities mm-hmm. of the cooperation between Cuba and other countries. Mm-hmm.
But those professionals are still here, so this program continues.
Yes, they are here.
All right, so I know you mentioned that surgeries are impacted because of the electricity issues,
yes,
and blockade. So you mentioned Bahamians who go for surgeries. That,
yes.
Has that stopped because of this? Or
No. It has not been stopped because of this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So it's still Bahamians who need the surgeries and are going to Cuba
they
for
can,
surgeries.
They can go. Okay. They can go. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Obviously, Bahamian students you mentioned too, they're being affected by some of this as well.
Of course. I mean, I have to be very honest with the Bahamian audience, with the public of Bahamas. Everybody in Cuba is being affected because of this.
Yeah.
So for the public transport, they are suffering the blackouts. They are suffering their blackouts.
Yeah.
How can they study if they do not have electricity to connect the computers? How can they access to the universities if the public transportation is impacted?
Mm-hmm.
And this is very complicated and very painful for Cuba. Not only, and you mentioned a very important issue, because it's not only for the Cubans who live there, but also to our the foreigners that are studying there, that are going to do tourist or just going to visit a friend, a family. It is impacting everybody in the island.
Wow. All right, so we've got, this is our business portion of the show. For Bahamian business people who are interested in investing in Cuba or doing business with Cuba,
mm-hmm.
What should they be doing? Is this the time? Should they wait until this is resolved? Or what would you say to somebody who's interested in doing more business with Cuba?
I think there is always a good time to approach Cuba, because Cuba is going to receive you very openly. And we have been improving and updating our foreign investment law, and now we have a very updated foreign investment law. So I think that the companies of Bahamas, of business people who would like to go to Cuba and to participate and to have business with Cuba, we are very open to do it. In fact, we have a special zone in the western part of the island that is in Mariel. It's a port. It's the port of Mariel. It's a specific zone, special zone to attract foreign investment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you invest in this area, you will have very particular conditions that are very good.
Okay.
That are very good. So I invite all the Bahamians who would like to join to Cuba to participate, to negotiate in Cuba. I know that there are, I mean, Cuba would love the rum cake. Cuba would love to have a rum cake factory,
mm-hmm.
in our country. We can put the rum, the Cuban rum, mm-hmm. and you put the rest. The experience that you have. We are not a country that eat a lot conch,
mm-hmm.
but we would like to learn about that. Since I am here, I have tried the tropical conch salad. It's very, very tasty.
Oh, like
so, so I think that we have a lot of things in common and in which we can move forward.
Yeah. So what would somebody do? Contact the embassy? How would they get more information if they wanted to make something happen?
Yes. Our embassy is open from Monday to Friday. They can visit also our website, and they can see our contact details there. They can see our emails there. And we invite all of the ones who are interested to have relations with Cuba, to approach us, we will receive all with our open arms.
This texter is asking if there are cultural exchange programs and how would that work?
Yes, we have been having cultural exchange in the past and also in the present. Cuba, as I mentioned it to you, Cuba is a very cultural place, no? We have jazz, we have song, we have bolero music, and we have a lot of groups that would love to come to participate in Shunkano Festival, for example.
Oh, wow.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of festivals in our country that Bahamian musicians and Bahamian artists can go and participate in our country. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there have been a lot of exchange in culture, and we would like to continue improving this.
Yeah.
I would like to mention that now, by the end of this week or the beginning of the next one, we are going to launch, with the support of Cubans who live here,
okay,
and also from many friends from Bahamas that have been approaching to our embassy and asking, so then, because of the situation that is happening in Cuba, what we can do,
right,
to help the Cubans? What actions can be can we do? So then we all together, the Cubans who lived here and the Bahamian friends, we are going to launch a solidarity campaign to support Cuba,
yeah,
in Bahamas. The name is 242 plus 53. 242 because of, you know,
the area code, right?
The country code. Mm-hmm.
The country code, and 53 is our
okay
code. So the campaign is 242 plus 53,
like
solidarity. Unity through solidarity.
Nice, very nice. All right, so I don't want to end this on a sour note, but somebody texted, said, warning us to be very careful, that the U.S. has a lot of influence, and they mentioned Marco Rubio, and how this could be getting all of us in trouble. Are you worried, or should people be concerned? What do you make of that? And already talked about the threats that were made to other countries about dealing with Cuba and what could happen to them and their visas and all those things. What are we to make of these times right now?
For Cubans, we never give up. Cuba is always defending our, as I told you, our independence. And we will always be like that. We do not feel fear. No? Of course, as I mentioned it to you, we would like to have normal relations with the United States. But mm-hmm, if they decide to do a military aggression against Cuba, we will defend our homeland. Okay? So, for Cubans, Cuba is preparing for all the scenarios. There's no fear.
Wow. Cuban Ambassador to the Bahamas, Juan Carlos Marcos Sanchez, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, you for having me here. It has been a pleasure to have been here to meet you and to talk to you about these very important topics, and to visit your station. I know that this is a historical radio program. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for the program, for having us here. And this is the time for the solidarity with
Cuba. Absolutely.
Hopefully
this won't be the last time, and hopefully next time it'll be better conditions for Cuba and for everybody in the region. But thank you.
Thank you, you.
Yes, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Only a few more minutes of Morning Blend Business left. Stay with us here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
How does it feel to have broken the bull riding world record?
Sore, Sean. That bull was angry.
Angie, I think that bull is headed towards your red convertible.
I broke the world record when he broke my car. Oh, well, at least I've got CG Comprehensive Motor to cover this.
Get covered for collision, damage, and more. CG Atlantic agents and brokers. Good like that. All benefits are subject to policy provisions, including eligibility at the time of service.
At CFAL, we understand that a secure future is the greatest gift you can give your employees. That's why our tailor-made group pension solutions are designed to fit the needs of both large and small companies. With CFAL, you can provide the retirement you and your employees deserve, ensuring peace of mind and financial stability for years to come. Join the many businesses that have already entrusted CFAL to create the right pension plan for their employees, and let us help you build a brighter future for your team. Visit us at CFAL.com to get started on building wealth so you can live well. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
CFAL is a proud sponsor of Team Bahamas for the 2026 Carifta Games.
If you're done with gas prices burning a hole through your wallet, stop paying the price and start driving the solution. A BYD EV from Easy Car Sales comes with an 80% drop in your fuel costs. So wave goodbye to gas lines and charge while you sleep. For 8 years, drivers like you have been breaking up with the pump and waking up to freedom. It's more than a car. It's a new way to be. It's a BYD. From the one and only authorized dealer in the Bahamas. Visit easy242.com to learn more.
We heard you. Due to the request for more time, the Tourism Development Corporation is extending the Student Innovation Pitch Competition. Final application deadline, May 23rd. Competition date, now June 6th at Bahama Convention Center. If you're ages 10 to 18 with a business idea, invention, or vision for the Bahamas, this is your moment. Green economy, blue economy, orange economy, up to $50,000 in grants up for grabs. Out Island Youth, we need you in on this, too. The Tourism Development Corporation wants to support you and our future.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that are second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff make Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from best booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Planning for retirement can be overwhelming, but with CFAL, it doesn't have to be. We offer tailor-made individual group and pension solutions that take the guesswork out of retirement planning. Whether it's for you or your company, don't leave your future to chance and let the trusted hands of CFAL's experts guide you toward peace of mind and financial stability. Low upfront costs and affordable monthly payments make it easy for you to build wealth so you can live well. Visit us at CFAL.com to start on your path toward financial freedom. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
It is time for your morning business report, brought to you by CFAL. The government must deliver meaningful structural reform while maintaining fiscal stability and stimulating long-term growth through its upcoming 2026-2027 budget, scheduled to be presented today. That's according to Chartered Accountant and Attorney Hubert Edwards. Edwards, in a post on LinkedIn, said, with the Davis administration entering its second term, supported by credit rating upgrades, improved fiscal indicators, and a renewed electoral mandate, the country now faces difficult policy choices. He contended that the government's Security, opportunity, affordability, and reform framework will ultimately depend on how those policy choices are sequenced and funded amid rising public expectations and persistent structural weaknesses in the country. The University of the Bahamas official says fintech space in the Bahamas has seen tremendous growth as the university gets set to launch the UB Fintech and Regulatory Innovation Program in collaboration with Cambridge University and the Securities Commission of the Bahamas. That's set to happen in June. Assistant Provost for Innovation at UB, Dr. Denipre Allen, and Global Programs Advisor for Cambridge University, telling Guardian Business that they're looking into setting up a Bahamas Digital Assets Association and that a few fintech firms are now coming back into the jurisdiction. Read more on that in today's Guardian Business section. That's your morning business report, brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. Chester Robards, as we get ready to wrap up, just a couple of interesting text messages here. I don't even know. Do I waste the time reading these?
No.
Just want to say, though, as you heard, it's been a long time. Generations of folks are there who've had to face unbelievable circumstances that would have broken the back of most other places. But the innovation that has come out of what they have to deal with is really quite inspiring.
They've done a lot with a little.
Yeah.
And come up with ingenious ways of keeping their communities going.
And we don't have to agree with their style of governance. Yeah. We definitely don't. But that cannot be denied. That cannot be denied that that it's quite special what has happened there. But yeah, interesting discussion. I advise you all to go back and listen to it if you can. And it'll be posted on the site by tomorrow morning. Chester Robards, thank you for being here this morning.
Always a pleasure.
And I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, have a great one. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.